Jerusalem to go and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, which were destroyed for years and years, 100 years and over. 100 years and over. Many tried but couldn't, but Nehemiah was the one God used to rebuild the walls. And we've been studying that passage, and now we are at chapter 6. We saw last, for the past 2 weeks, we've been studying on Nehemiah chapter 6, and we saw last 2 weeks that the enemy tried, since Nehemiah had gone back and they were building the walls, basically at chapter 6, the work is done. It's only left with the gates that needs to be put in place. But Sambalat and Tobiah still felt the need now to wage a personal attack at Nehemiah. They had to attack the leader directly, because in the past, the enemy, who is the enemy of our soul and also the enemy of our Lord Jesus Christ, his name being Satan, who is our ultimate enemy, sought in his heart, and always will sought in his heart, to find a way to bring an end to the work and the purpose and the calling of God for our life. Any dream God gives us, the devil will try and find a way. Satan will try and find a way to come against it. And they had used many, many strategies to hinder the work, by using people, by using difficulties, social issues, and all that. But now, they felt that it was time to attack Nehemiah directly. Who is the leader? And didn't Jesus say, smite the shepherd and the sheep will scatter? And so the plan was now, since the work is about to be finished, let us go directly at the leader, and hopefully we shall succeed, and then the work will not be done and be finished. And so we saw that the temptation came in three ways. The first one was the snare of the enemy's friendship. They tried to call Nehemiah for a meeting to become a friend. And we saw last 2 weeks that it is important for us to discern. And we studied on how the child of God can become a discerning child of God. We saw that discernment is a gift from God, and we can pray and ask God for that. We also saw that we need to stay in the word of God, because if God is going to guide us, he will use his word. And then we saw the third thing that a child of God has to do. We need to mature spiritually. Mature spiritually. And so we continued. And then last week, we saw the second temptation that the enemy used to lure Nehemiah into his trap in ways that will hinder the work of God, which was the subtlety of the enemy's slander. They tried to use slander. They concorded a lie, and they tried to use that to deter Nehemiah from fulfilling the work. And they actually tried that. Can you imagine? They did that. And Nehemiah told them straightly, what you have decided and said is a lie. I am not doing anything of such. It's a lie. And Nehemiah did not waste his time trying to argue with them and prove himself. And we saw that the enemy will use ways, sometimes will form up a lie and will try to use ways that will waste your time in you trying to defend yourself as a child of God, trying to prove your point, trying to let people know what you know and what is, and while you're doing that, the enemy is drawing your focus from that which is important. And so you saw, and also in doing this, they tried to put fear in Nehemiah. They said, if you don't come and sit down with us and consult with us, we will go and tell the king that you are plotting. You have made yourself the king here. And Nehemiah said, you are a liar. The enemy will always use fear. The enemy will always use fear. And so today, we are coming to look at the third point, and we shall see that in Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 10 to 14, the scandal of the enemy's religion. The scandal of the enemy's religion. Can you say that to somebody here, please? The scandal of the enemy's religion. I want to hear it from here. I'm going to keep quiet and then I will listen to you. Okay, it didn't go well to my liking. Let's do another one. The scandal of the enemy's religion. This is serious. And let us read Nehemiah chapter 10, verse Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 10 to 14. Afterwards, I came to the house of Shemaiah, the son of Delaiah, the son of Mehetabel, who was a secret informer. Say, a secret informer. A secret informer. CIA, MI5. He was the devil's MI5. He was the devil's secret informer. And he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. Indeed, at night they will come to kill you. And I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is there such as I who would go into the temple to have his life? I will not go in. Then I perceived that God had not sent him at all, but he pronounced this prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. For this reason he was hired, that I should be afraid and act that way and sin, so that they might have cause for an evil report, that they might reproach me. My God, remember Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and the prophets Nadai and the rest of the prophets who would have made me afraid. Remember Tobiah and Sanballat. Remember Tobiah and Sanballat. The scandal of the enemy's religion. We see right from verse 10. After I came to the house of Shemaiah, this man, Shemaiah, was said to be a prophet. He pronounced this prophecy. Nehemiah says he pronounced a prophecy. Shemaiah made himself a prophet of God, and he pronounced a prophecy. But he was not a prophet. He wasn't a prophet. He made himself a prophet, and he pronounced a prophecy. Shemaiah offered Nehemiah a safe haven in the temple. The idea was that though Nehemiah was said to be threatened, he could find refuge in the temple. It sounds good, right? Like today we were studying at Bible studies, that the enemy will come to us in very nice ways that look good. And we as children of God has to be able to discern when the enemy is actually when it is not God but the enemy. You see, religion is such a way that it makes you feel that you are close to God, you are obeying God, you are doing God's will, but in its actual sense, you are not. And many Christians get caught up in doing and living. We accept the Lord Jesus Christ, we are living our lives, but some way, somehow, the enemy finds how to come in and twist the word of God, turn the word of God in ways that makes us feel that we are doing that which God wants us to do, but in its actual fact is a lie. And that is what is happening here. The guy said a false prophecy. Hey, Nehemiah, they're coming to kill you, so let us run into the temple and lock ourselves in there, for tonight they are coming to kill you. The guy saw in the spirit realms. According to his word, he saw into the spirit realms and he said that. But you see, this could be true. This could be true, that they were coming to kill Nehemiah. And as a matter of fact, there are many verses in the Bible. One of them is Psalm 61:4. It says, I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. Nehemiah needed discernment now more than ever before. You see, the enemy will come and quote the word of God. Because as for prophecy, anyone can prophesy. Anyone can say they have a word. But you see, most of the time, the source of the word is what is dangerous. And in this case, Shemaiah wasn't prophesying from God. He was actually MI5 for the enemy. He was actually CIA for the enemy. He was MI6 for the enemy, FBI for the enemy. He was a snitch. He had gone for bribe and he was prophesying, came to tell the servant of God that he had heard from God. You see, many of us are living this life. Many of us don't hear from God and we say we've heard from God. And we tell a lie. We have so many pastors who are deceiving people, who are misleading people the wrong way. They are hearing, definitely they are hearing, but most of the time you ask yourself, what kind of spirit is speaking through this man, or this prophet, or this woman, or this? And this is so simple, it can be found amongst us all here, because the enemy is good, he likes religion. And so what is the problem with the thing being the word of God and you being told and you acting towards it? You see, the problem with religion is that it is deceitful. Your heart is the question here. Is your heart yielded to God? Are you surrendered to God? Are you really living for God? And so Nehemiah said, should a man such as I flee? Nehemiah, knowing the heart of God as it is revealed in the whole counsel of God's word, had discernment. Nehemiah tried to create fear in Nehemiah and tried to get him to disobey God based on his fear. Now let me take my time and talk to you a little bit about what is wrong here. Yes, the house of God is open for everyone to come in. But when you study the word of God, kings weren't supposed to go into the temple. It was priests who were supposed to go into the temple. An example is if you read 2 Chronicles 26, the king called Uzziah. Uzziah was a good king from a childhood age. Uzziah was appointed as the king of Israel. He ruled for 52 years. He was such a lovely king. He started so well. But this man went into the temple of God to go and try and burn incense. And the word of God says that the priest of God came and they said to him, what are you doing? You are not consecrated to do such a thing. You are not called according to the order of priest. Why are you coming into the temple and burning incense? And while he was holding the incense to burn, the word of God says that leprosy came upon him. The king, who is anointed by God, who did not understand his position, that there is a place for the king and there is a place for the priest, and God wants it that way, tried to go and do the work of a priest, and he was given leprosy by God. And so Nehemiah, knowing the full counsel of God's word, knew that if he ran into the temple while he's not a priest, what's going to happen? He will be disobeying God. The problem here is this. Many of us sought in our heart to do things in the name of our Lord God, in the name of pleasing God, in the name of God sending us. But truly, the matter of the fact is that we have our own reasons for why we are doing the things. Shemaiah is such an example. And Nehemiah, knowing the word of God, said, will such a man as I run into the temple? We need to know the kind of people we are as children of God. If you know the word of God, if you spend time in the word of God, if you pray and you search the word of God, if you're reading your Bible, not just reading it, if you are studying the Bible, not just studying it, meditating upon the Bible, not just meditating upon it, but also obeying the word of God, you will not be caught up in these forms of traps. It seems good. It seems good. And the thing about religion is the devil is good at keeping you to think that you are serving God. Oh, I'm the one that plays the drums. Do you feel out our drums were playing today? Man, God bless you. You play well, man. Can I borrow you? You play well. And you see how the keys were playing. This a young lady playing like that. God bless you. And oh, didn't you feel the bass and the guitars? God bless you. You can be doing all these things in the house of God. You can be the head usher. I can be the pastor and still miss my place with God because I do not act according to the word of God in it entirely. I choose what I want to obey and I leave certain things out. Oh, that one is in the Old Testament. So today we are covered by the new covenant, so we don't have to do it. It's a lie. Pastor calls for prayers. Oh, you see, the secret here is this. You always think you know better, you are doing the right thing, and everybody else is a lie. Let's pray. Oh, I'm not going to pray. I prayed yesterday. But why is it that pastor is calling everybody to come and pray today? We have Friday night prayer. You prayed on Wednesday, so you are not coming to Friday night prayer. Religion will tell you that you are okay. You know God. It's okay to do this. And religion will give you biblical reasons why. But the danger is that you need to judge God's word in the fullness of the Bible. The totality of the Bible. Why is it that the word of God says this here, but over there it says this? Oh, Jesus has come to die. We are under the new covenant. Jesus said, I did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Religion. We can play church here. We had an outreach in our community. We had an outreach. We come here and we love the singing and the good drummers who are drumming and all that. Outreach. Let's go and help our elderly people. People, I'm telling you, I was surprised on the attendance of the outreach. And I said to myself, this church needs to understand something. It is not about coming to sit here and looking good. Yeah? Jesus said, go ye to the nations and preach the gospel. If it is good for you to dress from your house, come and sit here and listen to the word of God and claim that you are growing, you are becoming fat, and yet still, you don't have a heart to win souls, you are in trouble. Nehemiah had to leave his position as the king's cupbearer. From the beginning, when he heard the news that the walls of Jerusalem were broken down, this strong man broke down, he wept and he cried and repented on behalf of his people. How many of us are burdened for Kearney? I'm working among us here, and we have strifes amongst us here. Religion will tell you you are okay. It is okay to have an offense against somebody in the church, and you are all right. You will die in it and go to hell. He will tell you you are okay. The devil will tell you you are all right. But the truth of the matter is God is saying, love your neighbor as thyself. This is why Jesus came to die. We can't hold any offense. We can't. We can't choose our own times. What is good for us? This is comfortable for me. I like this, so I will do it. No, 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 no. Have you all read the book, Not a Fan, before? You come to Jesus. Jesus says, you must pick up your cross and follow me. Jesus, relating with Jesus is sweet, but there is a lot of price to pay. Many of us don't like the price. Let me start preaching on prosperity here. I tell you, I can preach on prosperity. I can preach on prosperity, and we can pray and pray and pray, and I can fire you up. I'm telling you, you will be surprised. You will go home thinking you have broken through, you have everything. But the truth of the matter is, you can have everything in this world and lose your soul. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of heaven and all its righteousness, and the rest shall be added unto thee. Are you seeking the kingdom of heaven and all its righteousness? Are you actually seeking to honor the Father in every minute, every second, every time of your life? Or you are doing these things that show, that look as though you are a child of God, but really in your heart you are somewhere else? Religion. I pray 5 times a day. We will be shocked when we get to heaven and God says, I do not know you. I know a pastor who kept on seeing visions of a signboard. People, him standing and holding the signboard, people come and they are following the sign that he is following. He kept on seeing those visions. And so he prayed and asked God, Lord, why am I seeing these things? What are you saying? Am I supposed to go and start a new church plant? The Holy Ghost said to him, you have missed the point. You are holding the plaque, guiding others to God, but you yourself, you are not with the Father. We need to be careful, children of God. You see, certain things that go on here in the church tells us the place where our congregation is. Every pastor will tell you, the number of people that come to prayer meeting, the number of people that come to Bible studies, the number of people that come to services, tells us where our congregation are. The number of people that come out when you have evangelism, how many people that come out, tells you where the priority of your congregation are. Children of God, set your priorities right. Set your priorities right. Will a man such as I run and hide in the temple? Some of us are doing things in the name of the Lord when indeed we are not honoring the word of God. He knew his word. He knew his word. How well do you know the word of God? How well? How well do you know the spirit of our Lord? How well do you know when the spirit of God is telling you? Many of us are caught up in feelings. I feel. How did you hear? I felt. I feel. Be careful. The enemy can give you a very good feeling. He is a spirit. Yeah? He tried against Jesus Christ, our Lord, to give Jesus tangible reasons why Jesus, you see, Jesus created Satan. And the guy, when he had the opportunity to tempt Jesus, he still did not respect Jesus. And he said to Jesus, worship me, bow and worship me. The devil is no respecter of who you are. If you give him the chance, he will mess you up. And so don't be walking by your feelings and that which you hear. No, let the word of God guide you. When you start feeling it, judge it by the word of God. What does the Bible say about this situation? The decision I'm actually making, do I have a passage from the Bible that I can hold on to? The word of God says that all things shall pass away, but the word shall not pass away. And so when I decide, will I come back in 15 years time and say, oh, I made a mistake? That means you didn't hear from God. But when you hear from God, no matter how life situations go, I remember years ago, 7 years ago, we are in 2018, 8 years ago, when God told us, a young minister, my ministry was just about to, it was at its flourishing point,
churches were approaching me to come and pastor them. Oh, I was well known in UK, and the Lord said to us, I'm taking you to USA. Some mentors advised me and said, don't go. What are you going to do in USA? Your ministry is just starting here. What are you going to do? When I even came, I have some friends, some people who told me, you know, you shouldn't have gone to USA. I stayed in my, I tell you, my wife was the one earning income. Years upon years, years upon years, it wasn't easy. But I knew every time I wanted to doubt who I was, I knew that the Lord said to me, I'm taking you to USA. And that is what I held on to. Today I'm standing here talking to you as your pastor. You need the rhema. You need the rhema. You need the rhema. You need a revelation. When you feel that God is talking to you, when you're making decisions, you need to hear clearly. If it is not clear, don't move. The enemy is good at telling you it is okay. You feel well now. Religion will tell you that is fine. Everybody believes in this. You can too. Because some of us don't want to face the pain. Will a man such as I, who are you listening to? Can you say to the devil, my friend, I don't buy into these things you are telling me? Jesus loves us. And we need to love him. Our hearts have to be right. Our hearts have to be seeking. We can do everything else and not know Jesus. Let us meet together in the house of God. Devil is good. We can meet here and sit here and be hugging each other and giving each other pegs and licking each other's mouths and oh, fine. And even be bringing our dogs as well, our pets as well, and be creating this thing, a meeting here, lavishing on each other, cooking our best food and bringing all those things. We can be doing all these things and be forming all the committees and be good, feel good like we are good here and still die and go to hell. Children of God, be careful. Let's meet in the temple. Let us come and meet. When we play, we come and meet here. We are playing this thing, church. Oh, where is the worship? They didn't do worship today, so I'm not going to worship. Excuse me. Hey, did you come here because of who will play the drums? Why is it that pastor is preaching today? He should have done the offering. He should have done the announcements before he preached. Excuse me. One of these days, when you come, you will find that the seat that you love to sit. I've been watching you guys. Ushers are trying to tell you, please go and sit there. And you want to sit over there. I will move all the seats. Then when you come, you go and look for that seat that you want to sit in. Religion will tell you we are okay this way. Let us put the camera there. We make here looking so nice. But yes, still the Spirit of God is not with us. We don't love the Lord Jesus. If they do all this and it pleases me, I will go to church. Do you think you're doing me? No. Let's meet in the church. Let's go for a social gathering. And who is there such as I? He didn't only speak for himself. He says, is there anyone like me who does this, that tries to take the place of the priest? Be careful. Oh, this guy, he doesn't even know how to preach. I can preach better than he is. Watch it. I know what my old pastor told me a story. There was a young guy who was under him. And every time this guy would be complaining and telling people that, oh, pastor doesn't give me to have the anointing and I have the calling. Pastor doesn't give me preaching opportunities. I don't get the pulpit to preach. I don't get the pulpit to preach. So one day, while he was preparing, the Holy Ghost said to him, I am going to disgrace this young boy. Call him and give him the pulpit. The Holy Ghost spoke to him clearly. He said, I am going to disgrace him. The guy was spreading in the church that the pastor doesn't support his ministry. And so the man of God called him and said,
I want you to preach. Oh yes, pastor, I will come. What do you want me to preach on? Pastor said, choose your own topic, come and preach. This guy went to do his own preparations and he came and they gave him the microphone. He was standing at the microphone and he started shaking. He forgot everything in his head. Hey, you can't do that which you are not called to do. So stay in your lane. Is there anyone who does not fear God and respect God and honor God and exalt God? When we come here, we are not playing pity party. We come to worship. And so let your worship be to God. Open up your heart and exalt him and magnify him. Don't come with your things that you study. No. Don't get caught up in what you think you know. Worship God. Worship God. Worship God. That guy was on Sambalat's payroll. So be careful what you are watching out there. Some of us are caught up in. I like talking to people and I love listening to people. And people start talking to me about pastors. Oh, you know this man. He has this man, he has big congregation. Excuse me. Are we following people or we are following Jesus? Did Jesus call you or that person that called you? Did that person die to save you with their blood? You say you are following Jesus. Why is it that this person is your now idol? And we talk about the world when we see American Idol. Oh, we don't like that. The American Idol. Now all these players are now idols and all that. Meanwhile, you have a pastor who is your idol. You have a certain vision that you hold on to. Oh, that man is very, very evangelistic. Your pastor is saying, this year is for rebuilding. You are following evangelistic vision somewhere. Children of God, be careful. Your spirit can be contaminated and be destroyed with religion. And then he said, my God, remember Tobiah and Sambalat. My God, remember Tobiah and Sambalat. Children of God, pray. I can't stop telling you this. Love prayer. Yesterday, our men were supposed to be here. Look how many men are sitting here and how many men came to pray. It's good, those of you who came. Do you literally know that while we were here praying, a brother walked into this gate, a stranger we didn't know from anywhere, walked into this gate that early morning, 6 a.m., who needed help? And brothers of this church, while we were praying, the word of God says, faith without works is dead. And while we were here praying, this brother walked in and needed help. Should we have continued praying and blowing in tongues and him sit there and needed help? Brothers got together, we helped him, now he's where he is. 6 a.m. You might think, why is this guy calling us to come and pray at 6 a.m.? But God knows why. This young man had walked all the way from Paterson for hours, about 6 hours. He was wearing slippers, bathroom slippers. His foot were all swollen and he walked into here because our door was open at 6 a.m. My brother, don't love your bed. We got the opportunity to minister God's love to another. What would you do if that, how do you know whether even that person is an angel? To come and test us. But by God's grace, by his grace, we are moving forward. Please pray. Spend time in prayer. God, remember Sambalat and Tobiah. The problems and the issues you are going through, you need to commit them into God's hands. God shouldn't forget how these people made him suffer. Nehemiah is saying, Lord, these people have made me suffer. I'm here to do your work, and they are doing everything to hinder the work that you've called me to come and do here. remember them. You see, it wasn't the time to be praying vengeance prayers. No. Lord, I commit them into your hand. Most of us need to learn how to commit situations into God's hands. The issues you are facing at work, the bullying that is going on at school. I always say this, please, if you're facing bullying, if you're a young person here, you're facing bullying, come out. Come and speak to me. Let's find practical ways to address the issue. But you need to commit those people into God's hands. You can't fight the battle yourself. God says that vengeance is mine. So that manager who won't promote you, leave him to God. Pray and commit him into God's hands. That landlord who knows that you are having hot water problems or cold water problems, but won't send an electrician to come and do the job, commit them into God's hands. Don't try to go and fight. Vengeance is mine. Whatever Satan is using to resist the calling and the purpose he has given you, commit it into God's hands. It could be a person. It could be a problem. It could be a particular situation, circumstance. Commit it into God's hands. So you find that Nehemiah's response to the threefold attacks of pretending friendship, slander, and false religion makes us admire him as a leader. But we can love and admire Jesus far more. Far more. Come down to the plane of Ono. They said to Nehemiah, but they said to Jesus, come down from the cross. But Jesus was doing a great work. The great work on the cross and would not be stopped. Do you get it? Nehemiah, the same thing. Come down from the walls and sit down with us and let's play. Jesus did the same while he was on the cross dying to save us. They said, if you are the King of Kings, set yourself free and set us also free. Jesus didn't have to give in to those things because he was doing a great work. Focus on the calling and the purpose that God has given you and I. Be busy for the Lord Jesus and don't focus on this petty things that the enemy will use to distract you. Again, listen, they slandered Nehemiah, but he didn't defend himself. He stopped, he spoke the truth and trusted in God. Jesus was also slandered and did not debate his critics. He spoke the truth and trusted in his Father in heaven. Do you trust that God can actually bring you out of the problem you are going through? Hold on, please. Pause a little bit. Do you really trust that Jesus is capable of handling the battle that you're going through? Don't answer me, please. Search your heart. Search your heart. Jesus trusted the Father to the extent that he gave him his spirit. Father, into your hands I command my spirit. He trusted that the Father will wake him out of death. Do you believe that whatever you're going through, Jesus can set you free? We have to come to that place in our heart. And if a child of God can come to that place in our heart, trust him and hold on to it, regardless of what the problem or circumstance may be. Now the third one, a false prophet offered Nehemiah an easy way, but it was a way of fear and disobedience. Nehemiah would have none of it. Jesus was also offered a way out of the cross from Satan. Just worship Satan, and all the kingdom of the world would be delivered to him. But Jesus would have none of it. What are you loving from this world? What are you loving from this world? There's a song that says, this world is not my own. I'm just in passing through. This world is not ours. We are just here passing through it. We have a destination. That destination is heaven. And so our desires must not be after the things of this world.
It has to be after the Father. Nehemiah's desire was after the Father's heart. He saw the need and he gave himself. Jesus saw the need. Who will go and die and save the world? Everybody was quiet and Jesus said, I will. And he came to die. Is our heart after the Father? Is our heart after Jesus? Where is your heart? Man, I love this. I love this. I love it. You know, some of us, our wives are even our gods. Our husbands are our gods. Our children are our gods. Our educations are our gods. Youth, you need to study. But remember, Jesus is the ultimate in this world. Young adult, you need to study. You need to earn an income. You need to have a profession on this earth. But don't be fooled. You can have it all. Without Jesus, you will die and end up in hell. We grown-ups, we are looking for something. We have been caught up in chasing after certain things. And the enemy is using it to draw us, steal the joy of our Lord Jesus Christ from us. And we need to be very careful. Don't love this world. Love Jesus. Love Jesus. Some of us can't actually be romantic with Jesus like that and just tell him, Jesus, I love you. Spend time in prayer, study the word of God, and just fall in love with Jesus. There's a song that says, falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus is the best what thing I've ever done. Fall in love with Jesus. Fall in love with Jesus. You see, sometimes when I'm standing, I look at the people, everybody worshiping. And somehow you can tell those who are really tapping into the Lord. You can tell. Fall in love with Jesus, and then certain things won't become distractions to you. You won't waste your time with certain things. Certain things will become rubbish. Fall in love with Jesus. Fall in love with Jesus. Fall in love with Jesus. There are preachers I love to listen, but I'm not the type that goes switching TV and listening to everybody. Why are you so busy with those things? I have a friend who knew more than David Beckham than Jesus. David Beckham. And while he was going on about how much he earns, how much what he sleeps in his house, you know even what the guy sleeps in his home. You spend that much time on him. So I used a certain strategy. I took my time in conversing with him, and I started trying to quote a few verses, and then I would say, oh, finish it for me. Well, the guy didn't know the word of God, and he knew so much. And so eventually I said to him, my brother, you know where I'm going with this conversation, right? You can't know Beckham, everything that Beckham does, and not know Jesus like that. You are in trouble. Your heart is after something else. Beckham is your God, whether you like it or not, I'm telling you. And many of us don't want to hear it, but we actually love something else on this earth than the Lord Jesus. What are you falling in love with? Young girls, that guy that is telling you stuff is a liar. Young boy, stop telling the lies. That girl who is always telling you stuff, he's a liar. He's a liar. Jesus is the greatest lover. Jesus is the greatest lover. A girl told me lies, so many lies. And then eventually I realized she was lying. But since I met Jesus, he has never disappointed me.
Jesus will never disappoint you. Jesus will never disappoint you. I've come to an end of this sermon. We're going to spend some time in prayer. Falling.